Before we jump right into this, I'd like to thank the men who led the songs this afternoon. Amazing love, salvation, and how we can really think about those songs and how Jesus gave us that. He gave 100%, and that's why we have those songs to sing. That's why we can sit here this evening and worship Him, and especially Josh's song about singing about heaven and how that's going to apply to our lesson this evening. So now that I've revealed my whole lesson, we can get started. And this evening we're going to talk about 100%. And I got a funny story kind of about this lesson, I guess. I came up here to practice yesterday, and as I'm fiddling with the lock on the door, I'm trying to open it, and I get in the door and I look up and there's two people in the building. And about scared me half to death. And they don't know, but Bever and Dime were up here waiting on a ball game. So I thought they'd get a kick out of that. They scared me half to death. They didn't know it, but yeah, I looked up and I thought, whoa, I'm supposed to be alone. But anyways, this evening we're going to talk about 100%. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think about when you think about percentages? Or you may think about money. You may think about numbers in particular. But this evening we're going to talk about 100% in relation to effort and giving effort. We're wanting to give 100%. We're wanting to do the best that we can. You can find a lot of scripture about giving 100%, about doing your best and putting your best foot forward. And that's what we want to study this evening. We have some main points that we're going to go over. First, we're going to define 100%. We're going to ask who gave 100%, who didn't give 100%, why you should give 100%, and then how you can give 100%. And I'm going to ask you at the end of the lesson if you think you've given 100%. You know, and through going through the study, it's made me realize in a lot of ways I don't give 100%. I don't do the best I can. A lot of times I like to think of myself as someone who tries hard, but necessarily trying hard doesn't mean you're giving 100%. I mean, you can give 90% when you're trying hard. Giving 100% may be going the extra mile and doing the extra thing just to do your best. So first we're going to define 100%. And we're not going to use any definitions. We're going to use my definition. We're not going to use any Webster's or anything out of the Strong's. First, I think in order to realize what 100% is, I think we need to understand what some lower percentages is. What is 1%? What is 50%? What is 10%? What is 99%? That way we can get a good idea of what 100% is. And I've got some money here in my wallet, thanks to Beverd. See? I've got two $1 bills. And if I asked you what 50% of this is, you'd say it's one of them. Now I can take one of these dollar bills and I can give it back to Beverd because he's the one who owns it. But if I kept half the money, he's probably not going to be too happy. Especially if he said, since he said he had two 50s and he nearly gave me those. See, now I've got one of them and he's only got 50%. He's probably not too happy about that. And I don't think God's too happy whenever we give him 50%. Don't you? 50% is nothing. If you're going to give me 50%, you might as well give no percent. You might as well not even try. If a teacher says, hey, you're going to get a 50 on this paper, I might as well not even try to do it. Might as well say, hey, I'll take a zero because 50's no good. So what is giving 99%? 99 may be giving everything but just the last inch. You go everywhere except for the last mile. You know, I like to think about a race when I think about, you know, giving 99%. And that's racing the whole thing until the very last and saying, you know what? I think I'm tired. I think I'm going to quit now. And I think that's what giving 99% is. So what is giving 100%? Giving 100% would be giving Bever both his dollar bills back. It would be finishing the race. It would be speeding up at the end. That's giving 100%. That's what doing your best is. I have a scripture that I want to use as a definition of giving 100%. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So a word that stands out to me here is heartily. What does heartily mean? Well, I looked up the definition of heartily on my Bible app, and it had a bunch of definitions, but two that were really stood out to me were exceedingly or abundantly. And that's what doing it heartily means. If you're going to do something, do it heartily. And it doesn't say whenever you're in church, do your best. It doesn't say do heartily when you're at church. It doesn't say when people are watching you, give 100%. It says in whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. It don't matter what you're doing. Do your best. Do 100%. Do it all the way. And the next part says, as to the Lord. And what I thought about that is, what if you're about to make dinner this evening and you're starting to make sandwiches? And then what if Jesus Christ walked in the door? I have a feeling you're going to put away the sliced bread and the lunch meat and you're probably going to fix him a steak. Wouldn't you think? You're probably going to fix him something that's really nice, something that is your best thing to make, some great home cooking. And I think that's how we should treat everything. We should treat everyone like that. If we're going to do something, let's do it 100%. Let's do it our best. Let's do it heartily in whatever we're doing. Next, let's look at some examples of people who did not give 100%. I'd like to ask you right now if you can think of a time when you didn't give 100%. Think of a time that you just really didn't give it all your effort. You really didn't go the extra mile. You just did whatever you thought was good enough and you called it good. You know, I can think about some examples whenever I do that. They're mostly in school. Times when I just won't try my hardest. And a lot of times you look back and you wish that you would have done your best. You look back and you said, man, I wish I'd have tried a little bit harder. I wish I'd have given that my all. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 and 25, it says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And this is the parable of the talents. This is one of the scriptures that Brenton read last Sunday as he was giving the lesson over the talents. So this man, what does he say? He's got this talent, and what does he do? He goes and hides it in the earth because he's afraid. He dug a hole and put it in the ground because he was afraid that he might lose it. And I hope that you're not this way this evening. I hope that you give your best. I hope that you do your best and you're not scared about trying new things. I hope you're not scared about taking your talent and trying to multiply on that and do better. It's pretty sad, both all the examples I have of people who didn't give 100%, because it's kind of the same deal. He says he was scared, and then he says he gives it back. He says, there thou hast, that is thine. Here it is. Here's your one talent that you gave me. The master wasn't very pleased with this man. Another example we have is in Mark chapter 10, verses 18 through 23. It says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I observe from my youth. So far, I would say he's done 100%. I would say he's done pretty close to 100%. He's given it all. He's got all these things listed off, and he says, master, all these things I've done. He's done 100%. He's done it all. And then we continue on and read a little bit more. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. So it sounds like 99%. It sounds like he's done 99% of what he's supposed to do. He's only got one more thing that he lackest. And I don't know about y'all, I have some pretty cool possessions in my opinion. I mean, I like my car. I've gotten some autographs. I've got some different things at the house that I like, some cool pocket knives. But if Jesus said this to me, I would give it away as soon as I could. I would say, here. But what happens next is exactly what it says. And it says, and he was sad at that saying. It's pretty sad because you know what's going to happen as soon as you read the next part of that next verse. And he was sad at that saying. You know he's not going to give 100% when he says that. You know, he got so close and then he gave up. He got just nearly the finish line and he turned around and went home and he quit. Next, I would like to look at some examples of one person who gave 100%. I think we all know who that is. That's Jesus Christ, our shepherd. You know, the last time I spoke here, I spoke about the shepherd, the lost sheep and the shepherd, and how he's got 100 sheep and he loses one of them and he searched diligently till he finds that one. See, he had 99% and he wasn't happy at all. I mean, he was just as sad as if they had all been lost. It wasn't any better to him. And that's how our shepherd is. That's how he lived his whole life. He gave 100% for us, didn't he? He gave every ounce of what he had so that we can have what we have today. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read a couple verses there, verse 21 and 22. It says, "For even hereunto were ye be called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Now you can see here that it says that he was an example. I don't know any examples that don't give 100%. If I'm going to be giving y'all an example of how to shoot a basketball or how to throw a frisbee, I'm going to do it 100%. I'm going to give it my full effort. I'm going to do it perfectly so that you have the example to follow. And that's what Jesus did. He was an example. He was a perfect example so that we can follow his steps. He did no sin. He gave 100%. John chapter 10, we'll read 8 verses here, starting in verse 11. It says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and know of my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." If you notice, it took me a couple times of reading this. 5 times he mentions laying down his life. 5 times within those verses, he mentions laying down his life for us, giving up his life. He mentions that it wasn't because men made him. It wasn't because they forced him into doing it. It was because of his will. It was because of what God's commandment for him to do and his willingness to do that. He gave 100% for us. I think it's pretty important when we look at that, how many times he said that. We're going to talk about that here more in the next verse. In John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." What was he just talking about? He's just talking about laying down his life. He said it 5 times within a few verses. And then in verse 14, the first thing he says, "Ye are my friends." He gave 100% for us. He laid down his life for us. Now I'd like to ask you, why do you think you should give 100%? I got a couple pretty relative reasons why you should give 100%. First is because it's reasonable. I think it's only reasonable that we give 100% and that we do our best. The next is because of immortality. Let's look at reasonable service first. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's only reasonable. It's only acceptable. That's it. I believe that's like saying at least. I believe that's at least your service is to do your best and to be a living sacrifice. See, we just talked about some examples where Jesus was a sacrifice. He gave 100%. He lived and had no sin. And I believe it's reasonable for us to be a sacrifice for him. Pappy told me a pretty clever story that he heard on a lesson about giving 100%. And he said, when you think about breakfast, and if you think about breakfast, what do you got? You got eggs and sausage. There's eggs and bacon. Well, for the chicken, he's made an investment in breakfast because he's given eggs. But see, the pig, he made a commitment. He gave 100%. He sold out for breakfast because he's not alive anymore. And I believe that's a good example for us to think about when you're thinking about reasonable service, selling out, giving 100%. This next verse may take some explaining. It's kind of an idea that I thought up whenever I thought about reasonable service was verses that are similar to this one. Going back to our reasonable service, it says in Matthew chapter 27, "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Don't you think we just deserve to show him reasonable service? Don't you think that 100% is our bare minimum? I don't think he wants 99%. If Jesus can go through something like this, I think we can give 100%. This is where I like to argue that Jesus really never gave 100%. He gave 110%. I believe that he gave 100% before he ever died on the cross. He gave 100% whenever he did no sin, whenever he lived a perfect life. And then he gave the extra 10% right here. The next reason is immortality, which runs pretty close side by side with the reasonable service. Hebrews chapter 2 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." He gave us an example. And then he gave the extra 10%. He suffered and died so that we don't have to taste death, so that we can have immortal joy in heaven, so that we can live for eternity in heaven. He tastes death for every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass by the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we're going to put on immortality whether you like it or not. We're going to be somewhere forever whether you like it or not. Give 100%, because where you're at forever matters. If you give 100% here, it's going to matter what you get there. It's going to matter where you go. I believe that's a very good reason that we should give 100%. Next, I want to ask you how you can give 100%, and I want to show you a few ways, day by day, that you can give 100%. The first is to give your life to God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So this is really similar. It's just a few verses away from the one we read at the very beginning of the lesson. "And whatever you do, whether it be in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord." I think if you're constantly having the back of your mind that whatever you're doing needs to be in the name of the Lord, it's going to be hard not to give 100%. You're going to be having a hard time not giving 100% on something. If you're truly doing it in Jesus' name, if you're doing it with Him in the back of your mind, you're going to be giving 100%. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I can say the same thing about this verse. If you truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. If you're truly given 100%, you're going to be filled. It's where your desires lie, that's where you'll be filled. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then if you go down to the next chapter of John, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." I can't help but think back on the other verses we read where it says, "Greater love hath no man than to give his life for his friends." Then he calls us his friends, and then he says we'll abide in his love. And that's why he gave himself to die for us. That's when he gave the 110%. The next reason is to don't pretend or be hypocritical. This can go a long ways. This can cover a broad aspect of things. And you may not think you're pretending on something. You may not think you're being hypocritical, but sometimes it's hard not to just go through the motions. Every once in a while you may find yourself doing that in the services. I know I do. And I try my hardest not to do that. But try not to do that. In Colossians chapter 3 it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." And this is the verse we read earlier. When you think about eye service or trying to be a men pleaser, don't come to the service just to please other men. Come to the service to please God. That's what giving 100% is. You're going to be here. You're going to be thinking about God. You're going to be thinking about Jesus' sacrifice. And I believe that's what giving 100% is. Don't do it as a men pleaser. Don't do it just to come here and go through the motions with eye service. Don't do it just to be seen by other men. First John chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" It's just another way to give 100%. Unconditional love. Lastly, I'd like to say that you need to seek heaven first. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you're truly seeking heaven, along with if you truly have Jesus' name in the back of your mind, if you're truly doing things in Jesus' name, if you're truly seeking heaven, if you're truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then you're going to be given 100%. You're going to be filled. You're going to have these things added unto you. Finally, this evening, I want to ask you if you believe you've given 100%. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4 says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." This is kind of hard to understand even. She gave in all that she had. She gave 100%. You know, just because you give 100% doesn't mean you're necessarily giving a lot. Your 100% may be different than someone else's 100%. Your 100% can be two mites, and your 100% can be 2,000 mites. I believe this is a very good way that we can grasp the concept of giving 100%, the concept of doing your best for the Lord. One final verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." I hope this is something that you'll be able to say on the last day. I hope this is something that you're able to say this evening. That you have fought a good fight. That you finished your course. You didn't give 99%. When Jesus said, "There's one thing thou lackest," you didn't turn around and go home. When you saw the finish line, you sped up. That's what giving 100% is. That's what truly doing your best for the Lord is. This is the lesson this evening. I hope that something I've said can benefit you in many ways. I know it's benefited me through studying this. Sometimes it's harder to give 100% than you think. But when you're truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, when you truly love Jesus and you keep him in the back of your mind, nothing's impossible. You can give 100%. You can do your best each and every day.